Remember the first time you saw a race car on an open trailer? Maybe it was full of dirt, tire marks, and other battle scars. You wondered where it had been, and more importantly, where it was going next. Every open trailer has a story, and we're here to tell it. Welcome to the Open Trailer Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to Open Trailer Podcast, stage number two of Cole Watson and Matt Gain. I'm your host, Andy Austin, and I have thoughts about the Roman Empire. I mean, I can't be the only one who fell for that nonsense. I mean, I can't say nonsense. Well executed. But yeah, I have thoughts on it. Empires only last a couple of hundred years. They get too big, and they get too full of themselves, and they take their eye off the ball, and when something's too big... Listen, I'm not going to deep dive again on this. I almost did. But still, the reason why I bring it up is because I thought that it was only me and a couple of my friends that talked about this. And one of the friends happens to be a guest on this show this week. So I just thought it was me, a couple of buddies, and you know, one of them being Matt. And I guess not. I guess we were exposed for being basic as f***. Just points for creativity. That's good stuff. Whatever. Guys can take all the necessary crap for knowing or talking too much about the Roman Empire. But God forbid any guy turn the camera around and say, well, how often do you think about Mercury in retrograde? How about the moon? Right? Just saying. At any rate, on today's show, Matt and Cole pick up their story. Cole goes to Wiscasset. Definitely gets in a fight, but it's not his. And they pretend they weren't in the fight. Eventually going back to Beechridge, and Cole had a different reason than competition going back to Beechridge. We get into that infamous night battling for the championship with the Dirty Lou, Lewis Anderson. Matt talks about a car that, I mean, it's one of the coolest cars I'd ever seen that never took a lap at the racetrack. And a few of you already know the story, but for those that don't, I think you'll certainly be entertained by these guys. As I said at the beginning of stage one, these guys are full of great stories. Thank you for all the feedback on that. The continued support on Patreon, it's patreon.com, Open Trailer Podcast, if you want to support the show financially. Also, mainvintagerace.org. Haven't mentioned them in a couple of episodes, but big, big shout to Ken and the entire team at Maine Vintage Race Car Association who continue to preserve the history of racing in the state of Maine. They do a wonderful job. They have their Hall of Fame coming up in about a month or so. Make sure you go and check out the inductees. I believe you can still get tickets as of this broadcast, or at least drop day. But mainvintagerace.org will have all the details for that. Should be a fun night. Always is. So a great way to support the history of racing in Maine. These guys made quite a bit of it recently. It's Cole Watson and Matt Gain. Stage 2 of Open Trailer Podcast. Let's get to it. When's the last time you drove a circle track car?
The Sports Series car that I had, the one that Todd has now, I kind of tested and tuned that thing for like 4 years, and I raced it once, really, like went to the racetrack going, we're going to race this thing. Now I'm not testing, not tuning. And that class just, you know, you keep failing upwards. I couldn't really afford a Wildcat, so I kept going up and up and up, and I couldn't really afford that class either. And yeah. Had a minor medical incident the last time I raced at Beechridge with it. And
what happened?
Got overheated, really, pretty much.
But yeah, it was day like today. It was hot. I didn't drink any water, and I dehydrated myself.
Yeah,
and
that'll do it.
I just turned to the wife, and I'd had they called SVTs, and I'm not going to try to pronounce what that actually stands for.
Mm-hmm.
I know the last word is tachycardia.
Special vehicle
vascular, yeah.
Ventricular.
Ventricular, yeah.
Super ventricular tachycardia, and I know my wife's going to listen to this and go, you're a dummy, which is fine. Yeah. Basically what it is your heart doesn't know what to do, so it just goes up on the chip.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's but it's not like arrhythmia, because it's not like full heartbeats. It's doing, you know, instead of 100 heartbeats, you're doing 200, but they're half. So it feels like, you know, you feel your veins, you feel like you don't feel a heartbeat.
Right.
But it, you got like this quivery, you know, kind of feeling. And I turned to the wife. We got the thing half loaded up. And I'm like, I think I'm having an SVT right now, because I'd had them before. I had pancreatitis. And when they woke me up from pancreatitis, I had it real bad in the hospital. And I'm like, it kind of feels like that.
So you're a young guy. When did you go through that?
Pancreatitis was right after I got diagnosed with diabetes in 09, I think. No, it was 10, because it was after we got... It was after I got married. It was right after we got married. I was in the hospital more than I was home there for a minute.
And nice honeymoon.
It was solid. We made up for it by going to Bristol later that year, but not controlling my diabetes real well kind of led to that, and shut off part of my pancreas and got that turned around. Actually got serious about not eating so many Twinkies and bad stuff for you. And
no gallon of Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Mountain Dew is actually what really, I mean, man, I'd go through two.
Find a soda on the land,
I sure do love the taste. I was a Dale Jr. Well, Diet Dew. But, yeah, no, I drank.
Diet Dew is worse.
I drank a lot of that. And the whole diabetes deal, I'd have to take a 20-minute ride home. I'd have to stop halfway and take a nap. You know, and my uncle's like, I think you're diabetic. I'm like, ah, come on now. So he drug out.
How old are you at this point?
At that time, I was 28. So this was before I actually started racing Wildcat. So my uncle, I worked right across from him. He dug out this, I mean, I don't know how old it was, but it had
come
to be,
over on the Mayflower looking rig.
It was legit like this Petri dish that you bled into, and it had this big like digital screen on it. And I'll never forget, he pricked my finger and I bled into it, and it beeped.
Mountain Dew came out.
It was green.
It bleeped and blooped and did, the numbers all kind of twirled around there, and the screen went blank, and up in the upper corner it said, call doctor. Like, we're not even going to give you a number. You just, you're bad.
The number's 911.
911.
So he wouldn't let me drive. He took me over to the diabetes clinic over in Conway, and I went on their meter. And their meter said, no, you have to get a bigger meter. And their meter went up to, like, I think 1,000 or 1,100.
Gosh.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
We're going to
need
a bigger boat.
So they brought me into the hospital in Conway, and I bled into theirs. And I'm like, I'm getting sick of bleeding into stuff, just letting you know. And it was like 1,300. My blood sugar was in the 1,300s. So, yes, we're very diabetic. So they asked me how long I've been diabetic. And I said, well, today, I guess. And
yeah.
So that was the start of that. And then I just, started controlling it. And then I thought I knew better than the doctors, and I didn't. And that's when the pancreatitis happened. And I don't wish that upon anybody.
That's extremely painful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can tell you for a fact it is. Yeah. They asked me if I, drank a lot of alcohol. Nope.
No.
Not yet.
No. Well, we think you do. I'm like, nope, I don't. I drink.
Yeah, because that's what happens. They're like, oh, yeah, I have 5 beers a week. No, you don't. The doctors always know.
Mountain Dew, lots of it. And so then, thankful with my wife, she got me kind of straightened out. And
your wife does what?
She's a nurse.
Yeah. So having a nurse as a wife is a blessing.
Sometimes.
She's listening.
I imagine she's going
to. We need it the nicest possible way.
She might not, too.
Vet nurses, too.
Yeah, still the dumbest thing I've ever done on a racetrack was Victory Lane and not thanked her for her support.
Whoa.
The fact that, you seem a lot healthier today than you were 5 years ago or 3 years ago. What's been the key to where you are today?
Actually, they changed my meds up a little bit. The biggest thing was I was a truck driver, and we got bought out by a bigger company, and the bigger company made us go to, I don't want to say the name of the company, but made us go to their doctor and only their doctor, and their doctor wouldn't let me drive truck. So I went to my doctor, and my doctor's like, well, heck, you're borderline. Like, right now, we're going to take you off insulin. So if we take you off insulin, then they can't really say anything. So I went back to that doctor, their doctor, and I'm like, well, they're going to take me off insulin. So we had this big, this big standoff for about 6 months, and I finally said, hey guys, I gotta work. All this time I'm not doing anything.
Were you getting paid?
Engines.
Yeah, building engines, and
which
quotes.
Is a real moneymaker,
Yeah, I think I made $300 this year building engines.
That's about right.
So
it's for the love.
So I quit the job, and the doctor gave me some other meds and gave me a Dexcom, and being able to just look on my phone and see my blood sugar was a big deal. I don't have to poke myself. I don't have it in right now because I got some on order. But having the Dexcom and being able to watch that, okay, chicken nuggets, that's going to put me in the 200s to 300s. I can't have chicken nuggets.
Hmm.
You know, stuff that I thought would screw me up doesn't. Other stuff that I thought was perfectly fine screws you up. So you kind of, it's almost like tuning an engine. You tune yourself.
Yeah.
And ever since I've been doing that, I've been doing that since this first week of March. I'm down like 40 pounds. My A1C went from like 11, high 11s down into the low 7s. And I'm due for another checkup here shortly. But
you seem like you're in a more, I don't know, like you're in a better headspace too. Do you feel like, well, how do you feel when you wake up in the morning now?
I don't hurt as much.
Yeah.
The sugar stuff, I mean, screwed my hands up. I had neuropathy in both my hands, which that seems to have gone away most part.
Simply by changing your diet around and meds.
Changing the diet. I really haven't started working out or doing any. I bought a bike, you know, because you told
me. Yeah, no, you went for a ride that one time.
That one time. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
It's busy time this time of year.
I know. Yeah.
But, yeah, just changing the diet has done most of the work. We're going to do some more stuff health-wise, you know. I'm going to go. I've been telling my buddy that I went to school with. He started a jiu-jitsu school in Standish. Going to start going there.
Oliver?
No, I didn't go to school with Oliver. Oliver's way older than I am.
Yeah.
I know he's going to listen to this too.
Yeah.
So.
No. Yeah, he went to school and there was just one room.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bathroom.
Yeah.
Wow.
takes a good ribbon.
He's good.
We mean well.
Yeah, no, so I think that's awesome. I think that's a cool tidbit to this podcast. I mean, yeah, we talk about racing, but, you know, the journey we go through as human beings, and I know Matt's still on one. We're all on one, right?
Yeah.
I talked about mine. Matt certainly has had his own, path as well. So it's great to see you not only discover some different things about life, but discover a new type of racing passion. You're no longer a circle track guy. Tell me how you got involved with what you're in now.
We both are.
You're both involved in
I'm life? Just, he's a...
Yeah, I'm
you recruited him.
I'm the Carroll Shelby of this deal, I guess.
Man, you'll like it. It's road course. It's awesome. We go turn both ways and...
Yeah, well, 24 Hours of Lemons is my vision of current street stock racing should be. You take whatever, whenever. What you want to race your Subaru, you can race your Subaru.
Yeah.
You just got to know you got to deal with your Subaru. You know, you want to race an S10? We got an S10. You got to deal with it being an S10. But there's not a lot of rules performance-wise. If you build this thing with a super modified wing and you put a big engine in it and all that stuff, you can do that if you want, but we're going to bump you up a class. We're going to, you know, we raced against a BMW Z4 this past race at Thompson, and they brought the guy in there and they said, you know, this is quite a car. You know, a BMW Z4 that's a race car that you get to drive on the street.
Did they throw him out?
No, they didn't throw him out. They just said... They looked it over and said, we're going to put you 829 laps down. Before you even start, you're 829 laps behind everybody else. And I was like, yeah, I deserve that.
Yeah.
And he got in his car and he raced all day, had a great time, and that was that. I mean,
so they handicap you?
Yes.
They will. He explains it a lot longer than I do. I just say, find the biggest piece of crap car you can get and four of your drunken buddies and run this thing for like 19 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
That's basically it, man.
I'm a storyteller, so I'm going to embellish a little. But
it was cool. It was like everybody was so friendly.
Yeah.
You know, and there was people that didn't speak English, and
it was
really just a cool vibe.
There was, I think we raced against 97 cars. Generally, the Thompson race has a little bit fewer cars. The Loudon race will be a lot because at that point, you know, it's Halloween weekend, so there's not a lot of short track racing going on, and there's a lot of short track guys that do the Lemons thing, and they do it. You know, it's funny, you know, this is supposed to be our hobby and it's supposed to be what we're having to do fun, but they're doing the Lemons thing to have fun, to get away from doing the hobby thing.
So. Right.
Who are, let's name drop a little bit, who are some of the big names that you might see at Lemons that you would be surprised?
Travis Pastrana. It's probably Travis Pastrana. Greg Biffle races Lemons. Trying to think who else.
Some of the modified guys don't they?
I can't think of that guy's name. The guy that has the Mustang with the wing on it there. He races modifieds at Monadnock, and he...
It was broke about as much time as it was going, though.
It's funny because, I mean, it's one of the guys that used to sponsor me. I was talking to him about this, and he's kind of a machinist nerd, and he's a really great guy. And he kind of looked at me and side-eyed, and he's like, this is kind of a science experiment.
Yeah, it is.
He goes, you got to figure out your fuel mileage, how rugged this is going to be, how hard you can beat on this vehicle before it breaks. And we broke ours a little bit, not as bad as some other people. You could walk through the pits, and you might see a guy changing an engine.
Yeah, there was a bunch of dudes next to us changing, putting the motor in there Saturday night.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it's...
Or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever. I mean, so that it's funny, the fastest car that was on the racetrack was this, you know, Mustang, kind of like Cole's, but with a big wing on it. And he turned like a low 125 lap, and I think our fastest lap was like a 134. So we're almost 10 seconds a lap slower than these guys. We finished ahead of them. Just because our little pickup just kind of kept doing its thing. And
yeah, they had a pile of engines and transmissions. And
yeah, they did a lot of work.
They beat the hell out of that thing.
Yeah, but they were 10 seconds a lap faster.
It was fast, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But no, it's an alternative to, you know, doing the every week, you know, every, you know, short track stuff.
Yeah.
It's different. The driving part is different because it's not like street stock or any circle track or whatever.
We're going 20, 30 minutes.
Well, yeah, not only that, but I mean, you just got to keep in mind, man, I'm running my own race. You know, you get a bunch of people around you and you want to get kind of racy with them and you're just like, I'm just running my own race. Cause you're not supposed to really run into anybody.
They frown.
You're not really supposed to run off the track if you can help it or any of that. So you just
have to have a roll cage.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They're very, so when you show up there, you get allotted inspection time. First part of inspection, they're going to make sure you're safe because they don't want to see anybody get hurt or die or anything. And they've had some gnarly wrecks. We had one this race at Thompson. They had a Mustang that rolled over like 3 or 4 times, and the guy got out and thumbs up, whatever. So that's half of it. Then the other half they call what's BS inspection, which does stand for bullshit inspection, and you meet the judge. unfortunately, the lady that we had doing the BS inspection, she didn't wear the outfit, but normally we have...
like a Judge Wapner?
Yeah. Full-on gown, got a gavel.
Yeah.
And what he says goes. And
Judge Judy.
Tell
me her name's Judy.
No, it's actually Mental.
Her name is Mental?
His name.
Oh,
The normal judge is Judge Mental.
Yeah. Judge Mental. All right, I get it now. Okay, took me a second.
His name's... I can't think of his first name, but it's Mental Ward.
Christian. Doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah.
Christian Ward's his name, but Mental Ward, and then he became Judge Mental Ward. Really, really cool dude.
With a name like that.
Oh, yeah. He goes over the thing whenever you can bribe him. You can bring in, with the Jetta, we brought in, I think, 24 whoopie pies and handed them to him. He took off like 3 laps for that, and they let everybody know if you bribe. They take out a stencil that says bribed, and they paint it right on your car and let you know. And
that's cool.
It's
like an honest...
Well, there's a bit theatrical part of it, too. Yeah. If you dress up, like, you know, or whatever, become a theme.
If you show up with a theme, which our theme was lame, and I knew it was lame because we didn't really have time to do it. We were trying to do the scene from Step Brothers all showing up with tuxedos, and so we showed up in tuxedos.
Oh, right.
T-shirts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and... Didn't really pull it off real well. We didn't paint the truck up, but
nobody teabagged drum set.
Nope. That's probably going to happen though.
Yeah.
You get paid, I think it's $600 to win Class C. It's $500 to win Class B, $400 to win Class A. So the further up you go, the faster you go, the less you get paid.
Yeah.
So they really want you to show up with some sort of crap can car, like 78 Dodge Monaco or something cool.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
It's just cool.
How about the friggin' Escort thing? We kept chasing a...
Yeah, there was a bone stock 84 Escort. There's Team Hesh, which all dressed up like metalheads and...
Yeah.
And...
It was painted yellow like a taxi, and it was like 10 feet off the ground.
Oh, yeah.
We had a hell of a time beating it.
Yeah. So you actually get paid out of all that.
Mm.
The person with the best theme gets $1,000.
Yeah, no,
So it's double. If you show up and just show that you're, you know, it's the thing I say about lemons every time is normal racing, if you do well, you have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And with lemons, if you're having a good time, they're going to make sure you do well.
Yeah, all right, I get
that. So, I mean, if you're having a good time, good on you. We're going to make sure that you come back. because they don't really want to have people. I think the rule number one is don't be a douchebag.
Yes.
Right. I think that is rule A1 in the rule book.
Well, there was a time when you were racing for Wildcat Championships where you could have either been the douchebag one week or the other guy was the douchebag. there was a season, I want to say it was like a half dozen years ago, you and Lewis Anderson had one hell of a championship battle, Cole.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that?
In the dirt there once.
Yeah, we – because Lewis is awesome guy off the track.
Yeah.
Give your shirt off his back.
You wouldn't wear it, but so
I probably wouldn't wear it, but you know, I've watched him over the years. I mean, he'd been there forever, you know. Mm-hmm. They really wanted – Perry and them really wanted Lewis to win a championship. So they did a lot to help him win this championship. And we did – and I hate racing with a guy, really. He's a hard man to get around.
Mm.
So, yeah, we had a few scuffles.
Yeah.
And I finally ended up getting wrecked out of it, which really is how he got.
I think that was championship night.
It was championship night. I was like, his car was fast, and he qualified right up there, like third, and we sucked. I don't know. We were fighting bent rear. This car we're running now was the same car we were running then, and it's always been something weird like that. We always end up getting a scrape at the end of it. So I didn't qualify very well. I was like 15th, back when we had cars to race with. So we get into the feature, and he's always does something like that. He always gets it so it's good in the feature, even if it's sketchy when it's. So I'm like, we got 15 points. All we got to do is finish behind him. So I caught up to him. I was fourth. We had a caution lap 15. So I knew the guy behind me, and I knew the guy beside me, and I'm like, I'm just going to ride behind Lewis, and we'll win this championship, or things are going to be grand, you know? So we go. We go down the start and go down through, you know, three and start in a four, and the bag on the outside of me just runs right over the right front, and the guy behind me just plows me into the fence, and that's it.
And that would have been championship five.
Six. Actually.
Well, yeah, because we started this off talking about Thursday Thunder.
Yeah, six.
Yeah, five time. Yeah.
The last few times I've crashed, that wasn't a real hard crash, but it was right in front of the kids.
Yeah.
You know, so they're all upset.
And how old are your girls at this point?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 10, 8 and 10, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 2013. Like so, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So then the best part is Lewis's, whatever the hell that a**hole's name is there, Lewis's half brother or whatever he is there. Perry's half brother.
Ramsey.
Yeah. He comes down and he's standing on the fence. I'm getting out of the car and he's like, you're a deserve that. I'm like,
right in front of your girls.
Yeah, right in front of my kids. So some dude just takes off and starts chasing him up across the grandstand or whatever. Good enough for the guy, you know. I'm like, why the would you do that, you know?
Right.
So I was pretty mad when he got in the pits, and we were going to try to fix it and get it out, but it had ruined the fuel pump and a bunch of stuff, so we were screwed that night, really. So
laid the front snout over.
I mean, it really pissed me off, you know, and he told me it was going to happen. He's like, dude, there's people out here that are just going to, you know, I've had people tell me that they're here to wreck you, that, you know. I'm like, ah, f*** them. We'll be fine. You know, that half of that year there, what's-her-face tried to dump me two or three times.
Meg Lude.
Yeah. So, I mean.
She ended up destroying Chaz Briggs one night trying to get you.
Well, Chaz got wrecked that night, too. He wrecked right beside me or something like that because he's like that.
That's a rough class.
It was a rough class. Yeah. You know, it was fun, but, I mean, I just. Yes, I miss Beechridge, but it was just getting so, you know, I hated the people I raced with, and I hated the establishment, and I just, you know, it was just a place to go race because my parents could go there. They went every week, and it was a lot closer to race than anywhere else.
So you took half a season and ran Wiscasset.
Yeah, I just, well, so that opening day, I fixed the car. And so we go down, and I don't know, Lewis is doing the same shit. He's on the outside pole, and I'm on the pole, and he's on the outside, and we go in there, and he just me all up like for the last lap, so he takes the checkered and he slows down to take the checkered, and I held that thing right to the floor and I drove into him just as hard as he could, and we ended up in a sandbank out in there, and it laid the clip over again, got the radiator and all that. I got it back and loaded on a trailer, and it was funny. Matt don't really show too much emotion, and the other guy that was helping us don't. He was just so mad that I'd wrecked that thing. I mean, it's my car,
right?
But these guys really
changed my tires.
Really? No, there weren't no changing no tires or nothing. Yeah. You know?
I'm just saying that mentality.
Yeah,
was
it was pretty much. Yeah, yeah. It really changed my mind about how I do things now. You know, those guys the guys that are helping me are as passionate about it as I am, it makes a big difference.
What was the lesson that you learned that day?
Well, I was just so mad about the whole thing. I'm like, we just packed up and like, Nandy never kicked us out or any of that crap. We just like, we'll just go to Wisconsin.
It was a heat race.
It was a heat race.
It was a heat race.
I'm like, let's just go to Wisconsin or something. I just got to get away. I just can't, you know, I'm mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got, you know, that's, I still think that, you know,
yeah,
and I just, so then, you know, we raced at Wisconsin and they treated us awesome there. I mean, Richard and Vanessa are wonderful. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I really enjoyed Vanessa more than Richard because, you know, she was the one that looked less friendly, you know, when you meet him, but she's awesome too.
Yeah.
Although if you get in a scrape, Richard's the one that comes and shakes your hand and talks to you and everything in the pits. And but if you get in a scrape and you need to get thrown out, Vanessa's the one that throws you out.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
No.
We actually were in the middle of one
of those. Yeah, we got in the middle of one of them
with Billy Penfold even. It was kind of a...
You had a fight with Penfold?
No.
We were on Penfold's side, actually, because if you're on a side, you want to
be on Penfold's side.
Yeah. We were like, and it was after the whole we got to go to jail deal and all that crap at Beach Ridge. So
what was that?
Well, we'll go back to that.
Okay.
So anyway, we're trying to be good and set a good precedence at you know.
Yeah. This is actually at the Top Gun shootout.
Top Gun shootout or whatever. So we're like four or five spots down from Penfold. And I've always, Penfold helped me out a little bit back along. He actually worked with Tom a little bit, tried to get Tom a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Back along, I get some stories about that someday when you get bored. But so the car comes in, we're kind of standing there watching things, and Billy and he had what, two or three guys with him?
I think it was just him and his son, actually.
What's his nuts was with him there too. There was like four guys.
Yeah, okay.
So all of a sudden, like, everybody starts showing up with pitchforks and torches and everything.
We're in the corner of the pit, and, like, it, like, looked like a big funnel.
Right.
Like, everybody was, it looked like...
Like that episode of The Simpsons where they come around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm like, dude, I like Bill. Maybe we ought to see if we can help out. So these people are all kind of coming down one side of the car, and Matt and I are kind of coming up the other side of the car. Well, all of a sudden, this guy comes from between the trailers and grabs Billy and gets him on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get that all kind of straightened out, and this other dude comes and is going to kick Billy, so I punched him in the guts and folded him up.
If I live to be 100, I'll never forget that sound.
just
the sound of air leaving lung.
So that was me and one of the, I can't remember what his name is. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we get Billy all kind of, we're getting him
somebody. Yeah. It was Cassidy.
All of a sudden, whoever it was, Billy's boy. I think it was.
Yeah, his son was in there doing some kung fu stuff. Man,
out of the trailer, just all knuckles and beat the living daylights out of that guy. Got onto his father or whatever. I never see a guy get hit that many times at once. So we kind of was trying to get the thing kind of dispersed a little bit.
About this time, this is when Vanessa shows up.
Yes. So we're trying to sneak down the backside to kind of get out of there because I don't want to get thrown out with Billy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, dude, I don't want to say nothing, but man, the cops are coming.
Yeah, the cops are coming. Yeah, I like Bill and all, but I don't want to go to jail with him tonight.
And at the time, this is between our heat and feature.
Right.
You still got to run the Top Gun feature.
Yeah, you know, nothing like a little scuffle in the meantime.
Right. It's a little halftime
show.
Get
your blood going there.
Yeah, so we kind of snuck over to back to our car, and we're just kind of leaning up against the back of it watching the proceedings and whatever. And finally, they get Billy all loaded back up, and he's headed out of there because he got kicked out. Right, so he pulls up, and there's a whole bunch of people around. He goes, I sure do want to help you. Thank you for helping us in the big scuffle.
No, we don't want to talk to you right
now. Yeah, I'm like,
not guilty by association.
Nothing, man.
What you talking about? We've just been standing here watching the show.
We speak no English.
Good to see you and all, Bill.
I think you ended up getting, that's the one that Corey won. You ended up getting third.
Right.
Him and Corey both started in the back, and Corey would go high, he'd go low, then Corey would go low, he'd go high, and it was kind of fun to watch them both go through the field, and then in the last lap, Corey had something break in the front end or something and piled it, he won, took the checkered, went into turn one, and just went straight.
I couldn't believe it. No touch the brakes, no nothing. Just right went into, right into the wall.
And flipped over.
Yeah.
That's
like dramatic. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, the car's in the... They get this car, and it's in the tech building because they got like a little garagey thing there. So they got the door open, and we're kind of standing on the outside looking in.
I'm a touch nosy, isn't it?
Yeah, so Matt goes, Look at that thing. That's got some real weird looking springs and shocks and things on it.
Had coilovers on it.
Yeah. So he starts walking to it, right? Like he's going to go inside and look it over.
It's like a moth door. Like a moth to the flame. Yeah. And they blocked me pretty hard.
They door. The door. Yeah. They doored you.
Yeah, but that was the end of that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Well, you end up back at Beechridge, right?
Yeah, my parents were in their 70s. They loved racing, but it was just too far for them to go in the middle of the night. You know, we didn't all ride together because they wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want to show up at 2 in the afternoon and leave at midnight, which I don't blame them. Mm-hmm. You know, and Beechridge was just a smarter option for them, you know, and we'll just go back to Beechridge and we'll just do the best we can. And
yeah, it was more about the time to spend with your parents.
Yeah, that's basically why we went back, because, you know, Beechridge. I liked Andy a lot. Sometimes we didn't get along great. Sometimes mm-hmm. we get along really good. And he actually is probably, if he didn't do what he did, I wouldn't be nowhere as near where I am, which I don't know if it makes a difference or not. But, I mean, he, mm-hmm. you know, so he, one of the times before we took off, he's like, hey, you'll never race anywhere else. So we went to Beechridge. I mean, we went to Wisconsin.
Yeah,
we can race someplace else.
Right. But you come back, and it's really more about the family and the time that you spend.
It was just a lot easier for everybody. Sometimes I think wrong about it, but, I mean, I don't necessarily go to have a good time. I go to win races and championships, and, like, sometimes it don't happen that way, or lots of times. But mm-hmm. that was one of the things that Tom always said, whether he believed it or not himself. I mean, if you – you know, every time you leave the garage, you should be going to win. There ain't no reason to go, you know.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's fair enough. I mean.
Yeah. So you race on the final night of Beechridge?
I was there.
Yeah.
I stood right next to Glenn and Dickie. That was the weirdest friggin' night of a racetrack I ever been at. I mean, we talked about that whole thing for years. Everybody's, oh, Beechridge is for sale, and, you know, the mm-hmm. you know, then one of these days there's not going to be no Beechridge, and it was kind of weird, I think, back over the, you know, because they wouldn't let you do anything, the tech or whatever, for years, it wouldn't let you do, now all of a sudden we can run radios, we can do whatever you ask for, that sounds like a good idea, you know.
Spoilers.
Spoilers
forever on a Wildcat.
So why not?
Oh, just...
Just because.
Just because. There's no real, I mean, not a super advantage to run a spoiler on some old metric car. I mean, it's...
I wanted one because it looked cool.
It looks cool.
Yeah, I
thought they looked great.
Yeah.
Makes it look like a race car instead of...
Yeah, old NASCAR North car.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, we go out for this... I'm like, because we used to... Thursday night, you used to do things out on a track. My first Thursday night banquet, we had in the track garage. They had a big foot-long sub sandwich, great big... And the kegerator thing works. Yeah. There was free beer. I'm like, that's all we need, man.
Yeah, I remember that day.
So I was kind of thinking that same thing about this whole deal, you know. And then he went on this rant about the greatest track in the world. I don't know what the world, but greatest track in the state. And you mm-hmm. guys are the greatest drivers in the ever and blah, 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 this and that. And, oh, by the way, the place is sold and we ain't going to race here no more. And let's shoot off some fireworks, Andy. What do you think? You know, I'm like, what the f*** do we just hear?
Right.
You know, I'm like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And I haven't been back. I ain't been by since.
I can't.
I can't do it.
I've seen it on Facebook, but that's about it.
Nope. I don't want to.
I ain't gone on a rant yet about that, but my fingers are itching to want to go on a rant to everybody that posts those pictures about that. You know, it's like, you know.
What are they going to do, kick you out?
Well, no. Well,
take your birthday.
I have been threatened to get kicked out about some stuff that had been posted on Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
before.
He was. Yeah,
no,
he,
I mean, from Beechridge.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. But no, everybody's posting these pictures of it. I'm like, I'm sad that it closed. I'm sad for the competitors. I'm not sad for any of the officials. This is going to happen. Knew it was going to happen. But everybody's posting these pictures of the grass growing up through it. I mean, it's like, to me, it's like somebody's showing pictures of a dead family member, you know, and they just keep showing it. You know, I've spent a lot of time.
I raced there 23 years.
Yeah. And did I cry when it all broke down? Chris Smith was on your podcast and I joked with him. I was like driving my truck and listening to this podcast and Chris Smith mentioned me and we've been buddies and I messaged him like, "Thanks, man. I'm gonna miss my door time now because I had to pull over and have a good cry because you mentioned me, and then it just all hit, you know, just like that. It's do I miss it? Yeah, But something had to change there. There was enough stuff going on in that place that something big had to happen either way.
We used to be like, well, I love this place, but I hate this place.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I love this place, but I hate this place, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it was an interesting night, that's for sure.
That was unreal.
Do either of you feel differently? Because we're 2 years from at the time of this recording, we're almost 2 years to the week of that announcement. Do either of you feel differently today than you did 2 years ago?
I'm still doing the same thing I was doing
before.
Yeah,
we just went somewhere else. And you know, I mean,
I will say one thing, that since we've been to Riverside, and you know, every time you go to Beech Ridge, there's always something. Yeah, I don't like this about it, or I don't like that about it. At Riverside, we haven't had that moment yet, maybe. But we haven't been sideways to the officials, haven't had somebody go through your truck looking for tire softener because they think you're running tire softener.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of a straight-up show. There's not a lot of the back room, back politics. Anybody that's raced at Beech Ridge knows there was all kinds of...
Beech Ridge was by far the most political place to race at, period. Yeah. If you did it good at all, you were going to be in the politics. I mean, that's how it was.
Yeah.
Especially if you weren't always a favorite.
You show up with a race car and the man that owns a racetrack, you call tech, and you know, this is the car. You know the car I'm talking about.
I want to bring up this because I was going to bring it up earlier in the podcast and I completely forgot about it, but I think a footnote that very few know about, but this is a story that I think needs to be told. You had a badass, what was it, a Gen 2?
It was actually a Chevelle.
It was awesome, though. That thing was cool, man.
It was a Chevelle. Like that.
I thought it was a Camaro.
It was.
It had a Camaro body.
Okay. On a Chevelle chassis.
Okay.
So I bought the thing, got rid of the modified because I'd passed modified for half a minute.
And this is about 2000, what, 14?
12, I got rid of the modified, so 13.
Okay.
13, 14, somewhere in there. Bought the car. I knew it was a little sketchy, a little spooky looking. It looked like an old ASA car, and I'm like, I fell in love with the look of the car more than anything else.
I'm not a GM fan. I'm like, that thing's cool as hell, man.
I would have slept in it.
Yeah, right on.
So it looks like the car that's on the Open Trailer podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Sign.
Good reference point.
I mean, it's so bought the thing. I called up. This is in September of the year that I bought it. We were going to fix it up over the winter, put an engine in it. So I called up tech and I said, look, guys, I got this car. It could kind of be a Wildcat or it could kind of be a Sports Series car. It's kind of in the middle. It's a full chassis car. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to mention the tech man's name because that tech guy was super cool. He actually cried when the end of the story happened. Mm-hmm. But they show up. He looks it over and he says, yeah, because I love this car. He goes, change the front crossmember. Because it had the front crossmember was cut out of it, and they replaced it with tube. And he goes, you put a front crossmember. I go, I got that piece. When I bought the car, they gave me that piece to put back in there. So we cut it out, welded it in, and I put it together. So other than that, man, you're good to go. It's all right. So we showed up with it test day. And I get it out of the hauled with the school bus. I get it out of the school bus. And I shut the car off, and I'm going to get out and – I think it was Dan Walker or whoever was on the announcer. Actually, no, it was Ralph Rice.
Okay.
Ralph Rice calls me and tells me they want to see that car in the garage.
In the garage. Yeah. That's bad news.
That's bad.
Yeah.
And not safety tech, not because they're doing safety tech in tech.
All right.
They want to go to the garage. All right. So we go to the garage. So I drive over there, and the two tech guys that were there, one was one that came to my house. And so they went through it, and without saying it out loud, which I'm going to say it out loud because that's how this podcast works. But
yeah, the statute of limitations is...
Yeah, it's been 10 years.
Yeah. Right.
We're good. They were told to find something.
Yeah.
Find something with that car and deem it never to race here again. So they gave me a list. It was like the smoking unit. They gave 12 things to fix. I'm looking at the list thinking, that's really not that bad. I mean, it weld some stuff here and there and change this and make a hood scoop for it.
Why did they hate the car?
Because it looked different.
Because it didn't fit the template.
It didn't. Well,
Andy didn't like it.
Andy didn't basically. Like it. The track owner didn't like it because it didn't fit his NASCAR approved sports series. Because that's the class I was running.
Let's get back a little bit. Not only that, but it's some mine. Things might have been said online that he didn't mean to say or was just associated with or whatever. So all that online bull too might have accompanied a little bit of that.
This is where the online bull started.
Well, it was before that.
No, is this main racing forum or is this Facebook?
No, this is Facebook.
Okay.
I
missed the forum.
I never got on any of it.
I had so many names on the forum. Sally Girardi actually had like a bounty out on one of the names on it. Chris Smith and her were friends. And
wasn't he a moderator?
I think he was.
Yeah.
Because he asked me one day, "Are you Sudden Juggalo whatever?" On them, like,
you're the only Insane Clown Posse fan that we know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I'm like, well, that kind of gives that away. But yeah, no, that's me. So anyway, but no, they gave me a list of stuff, and Cole said, bring it over. We'll do all of it. So I brought it over to the shop and started welding on it, cutting on it. And that was that Sunday.
Yeah.
So I called up tech guy Monday morning, come over and look at this thing. It's all ready to go. Nothing. Tuesday, nothing. Wednesday, nothing. Right up to Saturday morning, I finally called him up and said, look, I'm bringing this car.
Yeah, I remember when you did.
And I brought the bus around. We started loading up tools, and I got a call. I literally backed the car out of the garage, and I felt my phone vibrate. So I shut the car off. I'm sitting in the car, and it was that particular tech man, and he said, don't bother bringing that car. That's never going to race at Beechridge. I go, can you give me a reason? I go, the only thing I didn't change on your list, and I got most of the stuff to do it, I just didn't have enough time to switch it. It had a Power Glide in it, which they had I still don't understand their fascination with wanting to shut down automatic transmissions. But anyway, I said, I didn't have enough time to switch that over. I have everything else done. Andy just doesn't like the look of the car. Andy being Andy Cusack doesn't like the look of the car, so that car will never race at Beechridge. Okay.
Jesus.
And that was it. Just 100% the look of the car. So my way of getting back at that, you know, because...
How much money do you have wrapped up in that?
Not much, really. I paid $3,500 for the car. Ended up selling it back to the guy for like $1,500. So I took a $2,000 loss because whenever I sell race cars, I'm the only person in the world that can't make money on a race car.
You and Gary McDoug know.
Yeah. I bet I give him a run for the money, money-wise. But so to get back at him, I wanted to race Thursday Thunder. That's what I wanted to do anyway. And for the longest time, they wouldn't let me go back to Thursday Thunder. And they'd let two or three other cars go back there. So I asked, could I race in Varsity? Absolutely not. You got too much experience. Meanwhile, I believe Lyman McCaig.
Yeah, Lyman run it.
Lyman McCaig was running Varsity at the time, and he'd raced
forever. Two championships.
Yeah. About as long as I've been alive anyway. Yeah. So I'm like, it doesn't seem really fair. But anyway, we got towards the end of the season, and I had a guy that wanted me to drive his Thursday Thunder car. And I said, yeah, dude, I don't know, man. They told me not to, you know. Well, we'll just go down there and practice. Okay. So just as a rib, you know, I pull into the gate, and Joe Bell was there, and I didn't really know Joe that well at the time. He didn't really know me. I knew of him. So he asked me what my name was, and I was half offended by that. And I said, my name's Jacques Lombard, because you always called me the Lumberjack. Yes. I was just joking. He wrote it down. I'm like, are you serious? You gonna write that down? Okay. So we tow in the gate, and they put me on the lineup. You know, we practiced, and I'm like, the thing was losing oil pressure, and there was all kinds of stuff wrong with it. So we found out what we needed to find out.
Yeah.
And they put me in the lineup. And of course, we didn't run heats, just run features. I'm like, got me at the tail end. I'm like, well, we'll just use it as another practice. Everything will be fine. Well, I got following Dale Alley, and Dale was coming up through, and I'm like, we're passing everybody. I'm just riding on the bottom in high gear, just, you know, in drive, not even in second gear, just kind of putting along. And I'm like, we're past half the field here. Dale washed up. I got by him. I'm like, I don't know where we are, but we got to be somewhere near the top five. And I looked over, and we're fifth. Well, that's not good, because now we got to go to tech. So I stop on the backstretch. I wave the guy behind me, and I can't remember who it was, but he come up and just absolutely pummeled me. I'm on the bottom waving this dude by, and he hits me. Like, all right, well, I guess we're going to finish fifth. So I go and finish fifth, I just won't go to tech. I pull on the pad, and the car owner's like, dude, I could really use that $20 for getting fifth. Like, all right. So I left my helmet on, drove over to Tech, and I'm not supposed to. This is a JV class. I didn't mention that. This is not varsity. So I didn't think I was going to get in trouble because it wasn't a varsity race. It was JV. I didn't ask.
Right.
So pull into Tech. Tech man opens the hood, closes the hood, puts the pins in. You're good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I drove off. Andy Cusack met me at the gate the next week. This was on Thursday. Andy Cusack met me at the gate on Saturday
when Cole was racing.
Yeah, and that did not go well. He was very unhappy with me. The best part of that whole story, and I shouldn't name this, but it's forever ago now. It's not like he can lose his job. I go up in the – I instantly – because I knew if I took that amount of hell, I'm going to go apologize to all the people that I knew was going to take that same amount of hell. Tech man, Jerry, Ralph Rice, Joe Bell. And I went around and apologized to all. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You guys got yelled at for my stupidity.
Yeah.
So walked up in the tower to tell Ralph Rice, cause he was running the tower at the time. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry about that, man. I didn't want anybody to get yelled at. And Ralph has got a real intimidating presence.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
You know, he just looks at you with those eyes. He's got this real serious look at him, and he goes, did you have a good time? I'm like, dude, that's the most fun I've had here in years. He goes, you know what? I had a good time, and I'm bleeping it out because it's a family show, what that guy thinks. And he points, and I turn around, and Andy Cusack is standing right behind me. I'm like, all right, it's time for me to leave now. Right. So I down the door. Yeah.
Wow.
Just got super uncomfortable in there.
Yeah. Let's get a little stuffy in here. I got to leave now.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Peace out.
But that was the story of Jacques Lombard and his one race at Beech Ridge Motor Speedway.
I might have called that race.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. So, you know, skipping ahead, present day, you're at Riverside now, but you're not the only Watson that's racing.
No, we, my oldest is like, whatever you do, she's like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So she's been kind of after me about doing the racing thing. And actually, the youngest has got a go-kart, not a racing one, but she seems a lot more wild than the oldest, you know? Mm. So,
what's it like having two daughters in competition?
They're polar opposites, kind of, sort of. Mm. So, you know, it's kind of, that's actually the youngest one really likes to hype up the oldest one, kind of, sort of. So it's fun. And they're both in high school sports right now. So we've been having a good time watching all that.
Yeah.
My oldest is a goalie for field hockey, and the youngest plays some part of soccer. I haven't really totally figured it all out yet, but we've been having a good time going to it. But so we get last year, or the last 2 years, I guess, we talked about go-karts. You know, we ought to buy a go-kart, go down to wherever, run dirt. You know, the kids, I think they'd really like that or whatever. So last race of the season this year, I'm like, well, they got a kids class, kind of, sort of like Beech Ridge did, only it's not restricted or nothing. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just buy something and do that? It'd be way cheaper. So,
whoops.
Yeah. So we're loading a car. Matt goes, here's a car right here in New Hampshire, Ford Focus. You'd look good in it. Yeah, right. So $1,000, I don't know. A couple weeks later, we went over and bought it.
Rumney.
Yeah.
Rumney, New Hampshire.
Because it's awful.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, we didn't really. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. It runs, moves.
It's the Ford Unfocused.
No, man, it was wicked rusty, and the cage was. The only thing the roll cage was hooked to was the steering column, which was actually hooked with U-joints. So I don't know why the dude getting killed in it or nothing. So over the winter, which had a wicked slow winter, took a long time to get anything done. We put a cage in it and, you know, kind of neatened it up and got her all the safety crap that she needed, and So she never set in it until we needed to be at the track at, what, 2?
Yeah. We got like noon.
Opening day, about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we dug your car out.
We pull her car out, and she gets in it, because it's standard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, man, we got to go out in the field, at least run around a little bit, see how it goes, you know? So she went out and made a few laps, reloaded on a trailer, and that evening she was making laps at Groveton.
Yeah. Wow.
So I was pretty proud
arrive
of
that. Drive and drive.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have done that or not. I mean, you know, right out of the box. But she hasn't raced the last few weeks because their sports have kind of interfered with it. But you got 2/3 in a row, which I was super proud of. I mean, the car's not quite fast enough or they're about equal or something. But, I mean, she's putting in the effort, and I'm super proud of it. I think it's really neat. You know, yeah. We get to go out in victory lane with her and woo. You know.
Be the dad.
Yeah, it's cool, yeah. Man. I didn't know what it was going to be like to have you watch your kids. You
right.
Know? It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the one race that you wish you would have gotten back?
Man, I don't know.
That championship night's got to be one.
That would be a good one.
That was pretty disheartening.
That was disheartening. That really, you know, we've been through a lot of crap, but that was bad. And the way it all just shook out, and then somehow I was in the middle of it all, too. I just minding my own business, you know. I mean, they just wanted Lewis to win it.
What about you, Matt?
We've had plenty where we shouldn't have won and did.
Yeah. Probably the White Mountain race was probably one I'd like to have done that different.
Yeah, that would send him out with a flat tire because we had kind of a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible crew member, and I was like his only crew member, so we were kind of running around doing tire pressures, and like the right rear went flat while we were like.
Yeah, they literally, we came in from the heat race, and that was with the Leaf car that I had.
The car was awesome.
Fast.
We
were either first or second on all the speed runs, and we run the heat race, and I kind of got held up by a guy, and I didn't want to wreck him because I knew the car was really good, so it took me forever to get by him. Finally got by him. We came in, and in the process of coming in the pits, I must have ran over something. Because it was a little tiny hole in the right rear tire. Well, we pull up on the pad. I hadn't even shut the car off, and they were calling us for the heat race already.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to get it was going to rain. They're going to try
to get White Mountain.
White Mountain. It rains every day there.
So, you know, Cole didn't know anything. He looked at it. He goes, "You want to change anything?" I'm like, "No, this thing's awesome." Mm-hmm. You know, I'm flat footing this thing off the corner. I'm like, I don't even changing anything. So we backed up, went like 2 or 3 laps, warmed the tires up, and I about dumped it. I'm like, something ain't right. So they gave us the one to go. When I was thinking that, I'm like, well, we're going to find out. And went into turn one, and it had no right rear tire on it whatsoever. I caught it, brought it in the pits, and we sat there and talked about it for a minute. I'm like, well, screw it. Let's, you know, they're going to go 75 laps. Let's put a right rear on it and see what happens. Didn't even have the tires out. I jumped out, climbed in the back of my dually, grabbed a tire, put the tire on, got back in the car, went out there, and they sent me out right in front of I think Skip Tripp was the leader.
Right.
Oh, and
boy.
I'm like,
boy.
And yeah. me and Skip have history.
Mm-hmm.
So
who don't?
Yeah. So I just tucked it to the bottom, let him go by me. And, you know, I had half a thought. I'm like, well, we'll see what we got. So he was a straightaway ahead of me. I ran him down and hound dogged him for half a minute. And I'm like, well, we had a car that we could have won with. And then I came in the pits. So knew we were close. So. Kind of gave up on it after that, but I'd like to have that one back.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
That was going to be fun.
Yeah. That was going to be a good time.
Then it won't.
Yep. But more good times than bad.
Absolutely. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
The whole racing thing's like that, really.
Yep.
Yeah.
And one of the things I like about it is you meet a lot of neat people.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
You meet some that ain't.
But,
two,
you know,
but
it's like Brad Keselowski says, sometimes you just don't like a guy.
Yeah. Well, there's more good people than bad people usually. Yeah. You know?
Most people are good.
Yeah. Yeah. You're supposed to be all there for the same reason, kind of, sort of. You know?
Yeah, I think so. You got to keep a positive attitude. Most people are, well, most people intend to be good, but it's hard to rely on a good intention. And somehow, both Luke Bryan and Toad the Wet Sprocket lyrics entered my head. Anyway, that's how it's been lately. All right, so that was fun. Thanks to those guys for taking time out of their busy schedules to make this happen. For our next episode, we go into the Hall of Fame series. In 2017, Maine Motorsport Hall of Famer and 9-time track champion Mike Maietta. But you don't win 9 track titles without a little controversy.
Bob Libby brought us both in there, and he goes, "Listen, you guys got to settle this, get it over with." I think that's the night I come in the pits. He spun me out in the warm-ups. I come in the pits about 100. But I was under control. I didn't lose my mind. But right, probably somebody's, Danny Poulin's mother was walking in. She was, oh, you almost killed me. I didn't even come close. You know what I mean? But it probably did look pretty good.
Yeah.
And I was going to hammer them, you know what I mean? And so they called us in the into the things. They said, you guys, right now, go across the street, get this behind you.
That's next time out. One of the many great stories he has. Can't wait for you to hear this one. It's next Thursday. Well, maybe it's not next Thursday. Maybe it's next, depending on how you listen to this. But drop day will be next Thursday on Open Trailer Podcast. I'm Andy Austin. Thank you for the support. Talk to you later.